as I was this morning.
I want to try to talk about Kairos, the now of God's time. Kairos, the now of God's time. As we come to our text, pardon me, let me read the text first. Our sermonic text, Psalms 90, verse 12, and verses 15 through 17, reads this way. So teach us to count our days, that we may gain a wise heart. Let your work be manifest to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord, our God, be upon us, and prosper us for the work of our hands. Oh, prosper the work of our hands. May we hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Open our ears, our hearts, and our own minds. Kairos, the now of God's time. As we come to our text, the psalmist reminds us of the frailty and brevity of life. Scholars say that this text was probably written by Moses during a critical time in Israel's history. It was during the time of their 40-year wandering in the wilderness. And according to scholars, during those tumultuous and trying times, more than a million people perished and lost their lives. And if you do the math, that amounts to some 87 funerals per day. So Moses was literally surrounded by death and despair. So Moses took out his pen and his journal and began to pour out his heart in prayer as he plaintively wrote, Lord, teach us to count our days. The words of the psalmist in the text are a reminder to all of us that our time on earth is finite and temporary. Somebody once said that the day we are born is also the day that we start dying. Living easy sometimes makes us forget that we are but dust on our way to the grave. The psalmist reminds us of the brevity of life and forces us to be honest about our human predicament. Time is filled with swift transition, anxiety, illusion, and remorse. But wisdom, in contrast, as Karl Barth and the text reminds us, considers time to be an opportunity to do the work of the Lord. Like Israel during the time of Moses, our world is surrounded by tragic and untimely death because of COVID-19. Since December, when China reported the first case of this novel coronavirus to the World Health Organization, the virus has continued to spread to nearly every continent as we watch cases continue to rise, with a reported number of 430,000 deaths across the globe, with more than 113,000 of them in these yet-to-be United States of America. So like the psalmist, we should cry out, Lord, teach us to count our days. COVID-19 has turned our world upside down. Like you, I miss people. I miss the hugs. I miss the ability to gather together in community without having to wear a mask. And so in a time like this, Psalm 90 reminds us of the uncertainty of life and the importance of taking advantage of time. And for the black community, the threat of death is not just from COVID-19, which is treacherous enough, as we are three times more likely to die from the virus than our white counterparts. But we are also beset by a pandemic of racism, police brutality, and economic injustice. And because of this perfect storm of COVID-19, police brutality, and social and economic injustice, protests are erupting all across the globe, and a demand for real systemic change. As Fannie Lou Hamer once said, Black people are sick and tired of being sick and tired. Well, in a death-dealing culture, the psalmist says, Lord, teach us to count our days so that we may gain a wise heart. So this morning, allow me to share with you a couple of ways we can apply our hearts to wisdom in a time such as this. The first way we can apply our hearts to wisdom is to answer the biblical call to redeem the time. To redeem means to gain or to purchase. And in the context in which it is used in Ephesians, it most clearly means to take advantage of. And in this life, one of the most important ways we ought to take advantage is of time. In fact, the most precious possessions in life is not money, not gold, not silver, not rubies or diamonds or pearls, but guess what? It is time. Dr. Benjamin Elijah Mays puts it this way, I have just 1 minute, 60 seconds in it, forced upon me, can't refuse it, didn't seek it, didn't choose it, but it's up to me to use it. I will suffer if I lose it, give an account if I abuse it. It's just a tiny minute, but eternity is in it. And with that minute, you can change your world. So take time to read. Take time to grow. Take time to self-improve. Take time to build. Take time to love yourself. But not only that, we must also take time to love our neighbor. We must take time to advocate for fairness and justice and equality and mercy and righteousness. When the psalmist says, Lord, teach us to count our days, the psalmist is really saying, Lord, teach us to make our days count. Psalm 90 is all about time, respecting time, making the most of time, being mindful of the importance of time. And again, as Bart says, applying our hearts to wisdom means recognizing that time is an opportunity to do the work of the Lord. It's an opportunity to recognize that, as 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, that we are called to be co-workers with God in transforming the world, because the problems of the world won't just fix themselves. That's what Dr. King discovered during the Civil Rights Movement. When he was in Birmingham, he received a letter from a white Christian in Texas. The letter read this way, all Christians know that colored people will receive equal rights eventually, but it is possible that you are in too great of a religious hurry. It has taken Christianity almost 2,000 years to accomplish what it has. The teachings of Christ takes time to come to the earth. Dr. King responded that such an attitude was the result of a tragic misunderstanding of time, the product of the irrational notion that there is something in the very flow of time that will inevitably cure all ills. King responded that time itself is actually neutral and that time could be used either for good or evil. That's why the psalmist said, teach us to count our days and apply our hearts to wisdom, because progress in life does not just happen by itself. In his book, Why We Can't Wait, King says this, more and more I feel that people of ill will have used time much more effectively than have people of goodwill. We have to repent in this generation, not merely for the hateful words and actions of bad people, but for the appalling silence of good people. Human progress, King said, never rolls in on the wheels of inevitability, but it comes through the tireless efforts of people willing to be co-workers with God. And without this hard work, time itself becomes an ally of the forces of stagnation. Dr. King went on to say that procrastination in matters of justice is the chief thief of time. Again, Psalm 90 is all about time, respecting time, making the most of time, being mindful of the importance of time, using time wisely to do the work of the Lord, which is to love mercy and do justice and to walk humbly with God. The other thing I want to share with you is this. As you can see through the words of Dr. King, the fact is that time is political. Come on now, that's what we have in this word, and that's what we have in this text. The fact that time is political. But check it out. Time is not only political, but according to Dr. Brittany Cooper, a brilliant cultural critic who teaches at Rutgers University, time is also racial. And if time had a race, guess what? It would be white. Come on now, according to Dr. Cooper, white people own time. You want to know why there are so many protests erupting in the streets? You want to know why black people are impatient with the slow pace of change? You want to know why anger is bubbling up all around the world? It's because time has been used as a weapon of stagnation against black progress. Dr. Cooper says white people own time. Come on now, I've been in far too many anti-racism workshops led by so-called white activists that ended on this sour note. Well, you know, racism is not going anywhere anytime soon. And you know the reason they're able to mouth those smug words is because white people think they own time. Listen, I know there's a chorus of white voices that have emerged in solidarity with the protesters in the streets. I know there are some whites who are putting their bodies on the line in courageous ways, and we must name and celebrate that. But listen, we have seen this movie before. It starts out with a bang, but too often it usually ends with a bust. Listen, I'm not saying for sure that's what's going on and that's what's going to happen in this time. I'm not saying that we'll end in the same way we usually end. But I am saying that history teaches us to be skeptical. Like Reagan said, we must trust but verify. Why? Because white people think they own time. And if we are not careful, what always happens will happen this time. And that is once the heat of the moment dies down, people slip back into business as usual, dictating and orchestrating the pace of time concerning black progress. All I'm trying to say is gradualism doesn't work. Listen, the evil multiplied by empire will always overwhelm piecemeal change while the domination system lives on to consume new victims. That's why 50 years after the civil rights movement, we are still forced to shout, "Black lives matter." But listen, according to Dr. Cooper, time doesn't just have a race, it also has a history. Listen, when black protesters go out to protest the killing of black people by the police, the images today look the same as those images 50 years ago. William Faulkner was right. The past is not only not dead, it's not even past. Dr. Cooper says, white people own time, which allows them to dictate the pace of social inclusion, dictate the pace of the workday, and even dictate the time that black people can take to grieve over the dizzying rate of anti-black death that is all around us. You can't pause long enough. You got to keep it moving because white people think they own time. That's why Ta-Nehisi Coates penned these words: "The defining feature of being drafted into the black race is the inescapable robbery of time." And that robbery shows up not just in structural injustice, but also in personal ways, such as in lost moments of joy, lost moments of connection, lost quality of time with loved ones, and less years of a healthy quality of life. That's why black people are fighting, because we are tired of being robbed of time And in the words of Congresswoman Maxine Waters, we are in a righteous struggle trying to reclaim our time. Listen, I know we cannot change the past, but the text teaches us that we have the power to change the future and to decide what kind of world we want to live in. The text lets us know that there is no statute of limitations on correcting past injustices and on building a new world. The ancient Greeks had two words for time, chronos and kairos. Chronos means time governed by the clock, and kairos means time governed by God. And so guess what time it is? It's kairos time. As Kelly Brown Douglas says, kairos time is the right or opportune time for radical change. It's a time of bursting forth with God's call to a new way of living and showing up in the world. Somebody once said, the best use of life is love. And the best expression of love is time. And the best time to love is now. You know what time it is? It's kairos time, the now of God's time. In other words, the time to do right, the time to love mercy, the time to do justice, the time to fight for what's right, the time to correct what's wrong is always now. Not wait until it is expedient. Not wait until the pendulum of public opinion swings. Not wait until more black bodies fall to the ground. Not wait until it is politically correct. Not wait until it doesn't cost you anything. Not wait until it is convenient. The time to do what thus says the Lord is always now. Now, police departments need to be changed now. The way we treat nonviolent offenders need to be rethought now. The prison industrial complex needs to be reversed now. Living wages need to become a reality now. Schools need to be fixed now. The shrinking of the middle class need to be turned around now. Communities need to be healed now. People need adequate health care now. The wanderer needs welcome now. The stranger needs love now. Now is always the time to do what thus says the Lord. So Lord, teach us to make our days count. Count by making space for others to thrive. Count by transforming our war economy into a peace economy. Count by opening the doors of opportunity to all of God's children. Count by making all black lives matter. That includes gay lives and trans lives. Count by doing something for somebody else. In the words of Mahalia Jackson, if I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word or song, if I can show somebody he or she is traveling wrong, then my living shall not be in vain. You know what time it is? It's kairos time, the now of God's time. I'll close with these powerful words from James Baldwin. What is it that you want me to reconcile myself to? I was born here nearly 60 years ago. I'm not going to live another 60 years. You always told me it takes time. It has taken my father's time, my mother's time, my uncle's time, my brother's and sister's time, my niece's and nephew's time. How much time do you want for your progress? Amen.